I am humbled this morning to be before you. The older I get, the more I go into God's Word, the humbler I feel. And it's an honor to expound upon His Word. And I always pray that His truth comes forth and that He prevails in it all. I thank you, Brent. Cindy and I have been here a little over 2 years now, I believe. We have felt like we've been home from day one. When I retired, I told Cindy, I said, this time you pick the church. And for 30 years, it's been mostly in my ballpark, but this time you pick the church. And I had to be patient and watch her. And one Sunday we were sitting in church, because I didn't know what she was going to do. We were sitting in church, and I saw her filling out that little card and checked it to be a member and wanted to know more. And I said, does this mean you're going to join the church? She said, well, yeah, I guess so. And thanks for telling me, you know. But anyway, I've been blessed. We have been blessed, and we just love it here. Brent's a great pastor. Let me tell you something. Today, it is not the norm to have a true pastor. We have a lot of CEOs. We have a lot of elders. But Brent is a pastor. And I really appreciate that in him. He's not only a teacher, but he's a pastor. And he knows how to preach real well. And I feel blessed to be a part of this congregation. He brought up a while ago about what's going on in this nation. It kind of fits right along with this message. I'm distressed about what I see going on in our nation today. It's sad. It's very sad. As I see the fear and the apprehension that's taking place today, it tells me that we have a lack of faith in God. It tells me that too many of us have our eyes on the world and on our government and on each other rather than having our eyes on God. It tells me that we don't trust that He's in control, that He is guiding us with His hand with every move. You may not think so. You may not think so. But let me tell you something, in my darkest pits, and when I've been the sickest, He has revealed Himself to me in His fullest. And I know that He is in control. And it's our job as believers to lead the world to know that. The people of the world, these people that are distraught, these people that are overwhelmed with emotion and fear and anger, it's yours and my responsibility to help guide them through that. So you see, it's not natural for us not to be supernatural in being a child of the King. One of the greatest problems that our Christian community has today is we feel too comfortable in being just a natural, everyday, ordinary Christian. God expects more out of you and I than that. God expects you and I to get busy. He expects you and I to put feet to His Word. He expects you and I to put power behind what we say we are and who we say we are and to whose we say we belong to. We do. Today, more than ever, I am convinced that this world needs a revival. But not only does it need a revival, I need a revival. The revival's got to start in me. I cannot expect it to start in you or anyone else unless I'm willing to allow that revival to begin in me and begin in me today so that when others see me, they can say, there's something different. There's something I want to know about. There's something I've got to know. And I have then the opportunity to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus wants to be seen through us. He says he's made us a light unto the hill, and our reflection of him is to be there for all to see. I have some godly men that has given some very good quotes over the years. Vance Havner once said, "Revival is the church falling in love with Jesus all over again." Boy, would we ever need to do that. We need to fall in love again. Andrew Murray said, "A true revival means nothing less than a revolution, casting out the spirit of worldliness, making God's love triumph in the heart." Triumph in the heart. Howard Spring said, "The kingdom of God is not going to advance by our church becoming filled with more men, but more of our men becoming filled with God." Men, today we've got to stand up. Men, today I see children floundering. I see wives hurting because men are not standing up and being the leaders, being the role models, being the strength, being the security, being the witness that God has called them to be in their family, to their children, to their wives, to their brothers, to their sisters. Churches need revival. But more importantly, you and I need revival. We need to be blown up out of our seats so that we can get a hot heart for that God that we say we love so dearly. And we've got to put feet to the words that we speak. Because you see, it's sad to say people around us are dying without Jesus. I've got brother dying without Jesus. I've got nephews dying without Jesus. I've got friends dying without Jesus. There are husbands and wives dying without Jesus. And it's our responsibility to let them know that there is a Jesus who loves them, and a Jesus who cares for them, and a Jesus who wants them, and a Jesus that is longing for them. A Jesus that wants them so badly that he was willing to die for them before they ever knew him. Oh, we need a revival today. We need to open our eyes. We need to open our ears. We need to open our hearts. We need to wear out some shoe leather. We need to know that everybody around us knows about Jesus and what he means to us. You see, we need to return to our first love. We need to return to the one we say we love so dearly. We need to love one another as Christ has loved us. We need to become one with him as he has become with us and has become with the Father. We need to be driven by passion. A passion that is nothing less than serving him totally and allowing him to give us his strength so that we can be all that he has called us to be and more. So that we can have victory in Jesus. When I was in seminary, I had a particular class that I went to. And every day when I went to that class, the first thing we were going to do was sing "Victory in Jesus." We didn't have a drum. We didn't have a guitar. We didn't have an organ. We didn't have a piano. We didn't need one. That professor started singing, and boy, the bells began to ring. And as we would sing, tears would flow down his eyes. And he'd say, "Gentlemen, more than anything, more than you knowing what I'm trying to say to you in this class, I want you to know that I want you to have victory in Jesus." And every day, he reminded us that our victory is in Jesus. Our victory is in him. In this passage this morning in Ezekiel, I want to read it to you because it's here we see that Israel has dried up, turned their backs on God. But God has not turned his back on them, and I want you to know that. God didn't leave them, they left him. But he's saying to Ezekiel here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel looked at him. He said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and you will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons, flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And I say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, oh, my people, I'm going to open your prayer, your graves, and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it, declares the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, I can't help but just put myself in Ezekiel's place a little bit. And he's preaching, and all of a sudden these bones start rattling. They start creeping. And he sees them coming together bone by bone, place by place. I can't help but think, man, that must have freaked him out. It must have freaked him out. And he says, what am I standing up here preaching these bones like this, and they don't even have ears to hear? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians that don't have ears to hear. They shut them up. The Bible says they become stiff-necked. They become hard-hearted. You say, well, Christians can't do that. They're Christians. There's a lot of Christians that are living a natural life. There are a lot of Christians that are not allowing themselves to be glorified in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of Christians that are not allowing themselves to be supernatural in the power of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Christians out there just going through the motions. And Ezekiel says, well, God said it, so I'm going to do it. And he did it. And look at what happened when he did that. Oh, wow. I can only imagine that when he saw this, that anxiety, maybe even a little fear, came over him. But you know, he did it. He did it. It's hard to imagine being in a situation like that, because it's very unlikely that you and I are going to see some parched, bleached, dried bones laying there, and that you and I are going to reach out and say, rise up! Get some skin! That's very doubtful. I don't think that's ever going to happen. When that happens, let me tell you something. I believe I'll make a bigger door in this building. I think I'm going to take off. I might come hiding back like I might do like Peter, start hiding behind the bushes and watching. But I'm going to tell you something. What a glorious day it will be when God gets a hold of us and each one of us in here get up and get going. We start dancing and moving these bones around. And we start doing what he's called us to do. God loves Israel. God loved Israel. God loves you, the adopted ones into the kingdom of Israel. God loves us. And he wants us to be his people, to live as his people, and to live a full life. He loves us so much that he hasn't given up on us and he hasn't given up on them. He loved them so much that he gave them Ezekiel, and he loved them so much that before they ever knew him and accepted him, that God gave him his son, Jesus Christ. Before we ever knew him, before we ever loved him, God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, Romans says. He died for us before we ever loved him. Folks, the closest thing that we can relate that to today is our military that goes out and dies for us. Our military that goes out and they deliberately put their life on the line for us. That's the closest we know that today. You know, one of the things that I'm observing today that's taking place in this world is the witnesses that the Christians are doing in the Muslim countries. How they're willing to bow down on their knees and have their heads chopped off, but refuse to forsake Christ. How they're willing to be hung. How they're willing to be beaten. All for the sake of Jesus Christ. What a lesson each and every one of us should take from that today. What a blessing you and I should have from them and follow their example. Jesus died. He came alive for you and me. But there's a problem. Today, people are still turning their back on him. Today, people are still living with great fear. Today, there are people that are cold and indifferent to Christ Jesus. Today, there are people who are choosing to live in sin rather than to live a full and meaningful life. God says to these people, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're dead to him. Wake up! Come alive. I'm here for you. I'll give you what you need. Just trust me. God wants to put life in these dead, dried up, old, sun-bleached bones. Let me tell you something. He does. He does. Oh, he does. Over the past 10 years, many of you know, I've had a lot of health issues. I'm stronger today than I've been in, oh, I can't tell you how long. But I want to tell you something else. There was a time where I had to have my deacons help me out from my vehicle to go home. There was a time when they had to help me out of my chair. But not one time have I fallen out of the pulpit. Now, I've fallen up the pulpit some. But I've never fallen down it, and I've never fallen in it. And I praise God for that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God says, I'll wake you up. I'll take you out of the valley of the shadow of death. I will put life in you. I will give you meaning. I will give you purpose. I will give you power. I will give you victory if you would just follow after me. If you'll just live for me, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just do what my words tell you to do, I will give you what you need. Oh, the first thing we need to do in order to live the life that God has called us to be and to come up from that valley of death is to hear the word of God. Ezekiel looked out over the graveyard. He looked out over those bones. God said, Ezekiel, can these bones get up and walk again? Can they come to life again? Well, I don't know what Ezekiel knew back then. I don't know what God had revealed to him. But there's one thing that I do know. God has revealed to us that he can do it. Not only that, God said there's coming a day when there's going to be a resurrection. And those dead bodies are going to rise up from the grave and they're going to be given a new body. And you're going to rise up who are still living and you're going to be given a new body in Christ Jesus. So I know it can be done. But Ezekiel said, I don't know, Lord. You're the only one that knows that. You're the only one that knows that. The Lord says, Ezekiel, you begin to prophesy. Now, I don't know what Ezekiel first did, but I know what I would do. You got to be kidding me, Lord. You got to be kidding me. The first church God led me to pastor in Maryland, of all places. And while we were up there, or when we went up there in view of the call to meet with the committee and everything, I just shook my head. I said, oh God. It's just something about my spirit, Cindy's spirit. She says, what are you going to do? Well, we were already told where we were going and what to do. And I said, well, when he goes that way, we're going this way. I said, we're going back home. Okay. When we got in the car and started to leave, my car went right behind him. And I wound up staying there 13 years. You see, if you're going to live a godly life, you're going to do what God tells you to do, regardless of what circumstances are, regardless of where it is, regardless to who it is to, you're going to go. And if you're going to be obedient to God, you're going to stay there until he says it's time for you to go. You're going to stay there. The Lord said, he would put tendons and muscles on them and make flesh grow back on them. And he would cover them with skin. And then he would give them the breath of life. The breath of life. When his spirit comes within us, his spirit gives us real life. His spirit gives us true life. His spirit comes in and gives us everlasting life. You see, no matter what happens to us here, it's temporal. What did Paul say? He said, well, okay, if I die, that's all right because I gain. If I live, that's okay because it's gain too. And it's gain for the glory of God because I'm not shutting up. And I realize that's a dirty word today. And he said, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going on. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. No one can come to the Father except those who are called to him. And he is calling you. Let me tell you something. He is calling you. He is calling everyone. The Bible says he died once for all. The Bible said that he came for all. He wants us all to live the fullness of life in him. Secondly, we got to not only hear the word of God, but we got to obey the word of God. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just for you to be a church member. It's not enough just, man, I'm excited about baptism today. Are you?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I'm excited about baptism today. But let me tell you something. I'm excited about baptism. I'm looking forward to baptism. And man, what a joy it is. You can be baptized. You can walk the aisle. You can join the church. You can do whatever. But let me tell you, until you start obeying the word of God, you've done not much. You're just a natural person. God says for us to come to him. Ezekiel. Oh, wow. Can you imagine? This isn't his way. This isn't man's way. But God says it's not us. It's not about us. It's about him. He says, my ways aren't like your ways. I'm not like you. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on me. Turn to me. Do what I ask you to do. Do what I model for you to do. Don't worry about anything else. And when Ezekiel listened, and when Ezekiel did what he was told to do, what happened? Those bones got up. Can you imagine those bones getting up, crackling and popping and everything? It's not like a baby crying in the congregation while a preacher's preaching. Those bones are making some noise, folks, let me tell you. And there they were, popping and creaking everywhere. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not obey me? Why? Why? You see, you become what the Lord wants you to be when you start obeying his word and living in obedience to him as a minister of the word of God, as Brent is the pastor of the word of God. It's our responsibility to equip the saints for the glory of God. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to lead you to go out and do the ministry in the field. Not that we're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it with you. But we're supposed to equip you to do it. And your sole responsibility is to go out and do it. Is to go out and do it. I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hand. Please. How many of you have ever won somebody to the Lord? How many of you witnessed to somebody this week? How many of you invited somebody to church today? How many of you got excited about the visitors that are in church today and went up to them and introduced yourself? How many of you will run out the door as soon as baptism is open? Folks, we need to make ourselves vulnerable. And let me tell you something else. You need to let the Lord scare the daylights out of you. You need to let him scare the daylights out of you. Scaredest I ever got. I was in Mexico preaching, and I had an interpreter, a little 16-year-old boy. And all of a sudden, we got deluged. We could not move. He grabbed me by my belt buckle and pulled me back to the wall. He said, stand here, don't move. We're getting ready to get crushed. And he said, please start preaching now. And I started preaching. And as soon as the crowd got dispersed a little bit, we ran. He grabbed me and we ran to the van. And he got in the van. He pushed me out the door and held me at the door with my belt. He said, you got to preach again or we're going to get crushed again. We had 69 people come to the Lord. Started a church. It's still going. It's a strong church. Scared the daylights out of me. Scared me to death. But you know what? It's easy for us to go somewhere like Mexico or Canada and preach or go out street witnessing. Oh, how hard it is here. You know why it's so hard here? It's because you and I are afraid we'll run into somebody that knows us and they'll know what we're like. Woo. Sorry. The Holy Spirit is the gateway. The Holy Spirit is the doorway. As you walk in the Spirit, he will empower you. He will rejuvenate you. He will superpower you. He will make you into the person he wants you to be. But first, you and I have got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves. We got to seek his face. We got to ask his forgiveness. We got to turn from our wicked ways. And we got to start living for him. We got to start walking in the Spirit. We got to keep preaching the Word of God. Breath came into those bones, into that flesh. And we have got to start preaching to others, teaching others, witnessing to others, so that they will come alive in Christ Jesus. We do. Now, there's more to the story. I don't have the time, but I'd love to have the time to give you more to the story. But I'm going to challenge you to read the book, to read the book of God, and he'll give you the rest of the story. Now, if you want a quick course and you want a challenge, I'd challenge you to come to Cindy's in my house on Sunday nights at 6, and don't be late. If you expect food, you're not going to get it. Do you want a cup of coffee? We got it. Do you want a drink? We got it. Do you want water? We got it. Do you want tea? We got it. But we're there to study. And we're there to learn how to be the believer that God's called us to be. Oh, this morning, I want to challenge you. I know we're getting ready to have baptism. I just can't wait to hear it. We're coming. We're coming. I'm getting ready to sit down and shut up. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you're just being a normal, ordinary, everyday Christian, after a while when Brent gives you the opportunity, I hope you pray you will fall down before your face on your knees here at the altar and say, Lord, help me in my unbelief. If you're not a believer, there's going to be people in the back. I'll be back there. I want to challenge you, come talk to us and let's share with you. If you've got an aching heart in here this morning, and I know some of you do, come back there and let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. But more than anything, I want you to start obeying, hearing the Word of God, and walking in the Spirit. Father God, we love you. More than anything this morning, Lord, we lift ourselves up to you and ask you to take control of our life. And Lord, help us to be more than conquerors. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that we will take advantage of every opportunity. And Lord, there's an advantage at every corner today as we hear weeping, begging, crying, lostness, hopelessness all around us, Lord. Oh, God, use us to shed your light upon it. Father, we love you. Oh, Lord, I'm so excited about this baptism, and I pray, Lord, that you will take this soul, and, Lord, when they come up out of this water, that, Father, a joy will fill them like they've never felt before. The satisfaction and completeness will come over them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.